studying the Christmas story in the Old Testament, just like the, you know, the first century Christians. And actually, by the way, before I tell you a little bit about what we're going to talk about tonight, I just want to mention that, in case you're wondering, no, there is no children's nursery tonight. So kids and babies are welcome here in the service. If you've got a screamer, we've got a scream room in the back. So feel free to take use of it. But we've been studying Christmas in the Old Testament, primarily in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah lived about 700 years before Jesus was born. And he described the birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and his coming kingdom. He's the one who said in Isaiah chapter 7, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." And then Isaiah described this Messiah, this king who is coming. He said, "For us a child is born and to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulder and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." Now, for the last 4 weeks, we've taken each one of those titles, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and we've talked about how that applies to the Lord Jesus. We have one Sunday left, so this coming Sunday, we're going to talk about Jesus as the Prince of Peace, and I'd like to invite you to come join us this Sunday. But not only did Isaiah talk about Jesus, but Jesus talked about Isaiah. There was a time early on in Jesus' ministry where he went into the synagogue in Nazareth, and they handed him the book of Isaiah. And they didn't have books like this back during the time of Jesus. They handed him something that looked like this. And he took the twine off the scroll, and he opened it up like this. And he read from Isaiah chapter 61. He said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery for sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the time of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled it back up, gave it to the attendant, and he said, "Today, this scripture has come true." Now, what was Jesus saying? He was saying, Isaiah was talking about me. I'm the one who's going to come and do those four things. Now, did you catch those four things? Those four things were to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, three, recovery, to proclaim recovery of sight for the blind, and then fourthly, to proclaim the time of the Lord's favor. Now, when Jesus said he came to proclaim good news to the poor, what did he mean? Well, the good news is that there is forgiveness and eternal life in Christ. And that good news is for the poor. Well, who's the poor? Well, the poor is anyone who's not been forgiven and who doesn't have eternal life. So if you're here tonight and you don't have eternal life and you haven't experienced God's love and forgiveness, then you are poor in God's eyes. Then secondly, he came to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean Jesus is going to go in prisons and let out the murderers and the thieves? No. You see, God understands that people are imprisoned or held captive by a number of things. For example, some people are held captive by false teachings. In other words, they've believed the lie that there is no God. And they're held captive by that false teaching. And it hinders them from coming to God and experiencing his love and his forgiveness. So really, anybody is a prisoner if they're caught up into something that keeps them from God and keeps them from experiencing that personal relationship with him. So some person might be held captive by pride. That pride keeps him from humbling himself before Almighty God. Some person may be held captive by their friends In other words, if someone thinks it's more important to please their friends than to please God, well, then they're held captive by their friends. There may be someone who's held captive by the pursuit of pleasure, or by the pursuit of money, or by the pursuit of material things, by the pursuit of entertainment or sports. Any of these things can hold you captive and keep you from coming to Christ and receiving eternal life. Some people are held captive by bitterness, anger, or an unforgiving attitude. Some people are held captive by drugs, alcohol, or pornography. But Jesus came to set us free. Because you see, we're not really free until we're free to come into the presence of God, until we're free to serve Him and obey Him. And so I want to ask you tonight, are you free? Has Jesus set you free? And then the third reason He came was to restore the sight of the blind. Now, Jesus did that for several individuals. Many of you know the story of this guy named Bartimaeus. And he was sitting on the side of the road, and he heard all these people coming by. And so he started asking people as they went by, "Hey, what's going on? What's going on?" And so they told him, they said, "Jesus is coming." And when he heard that Jesus was coming, he started yelling and shouting at the top of his voice. He said, "Jesus, have mercy on me." Well, Jesus heard him, and he stopped. And he said, "Bring that man to me." Now, there's some people in the crowd who turned to the man and said, "You lucky fellow, Jesus is calling you." I want you to know that all of us are fortunate because Jesus has called us. He's calling everyone in the whole world to come to Him, because it is only in Him that there is forgiveness and eternal life. So that man Bartimaeus was led to Jesus, and Jesus says, "What do you want?" And Bartimaeus said, "Lord, I want to receive my sight." And the Lord Jesus said, "It shall be done unto you." And in that instant, that man could see. And he began to jump up and praise God. He says, "I don't need you guys to lead me around anymore." And from that point on, Scripture says that he followed Jesus. Now, with a lot of things that Jesus says, there's a double meaning. Jesus literally helped blind people see. And Bartimaeus wasn't the only one. But Jesus talked about seeing as understanding. In other words, Jesus wants people to know and understand that God loves you and He has a wonderful plan for you. He wants you to see and understand that you have a Father in heaven who knows you, who knows what you're going through right now, who knows what you're thinking. He knows what you need, and He is able to help and save you. He wants you to understand that knowing your Father in heaven is the most important thing that you could ever know. He wants you to know that heaven is real, that hell is real, and that His kingdom will soon be coming and established on this earth. Nothing is going to stop the Lord Jesus from coming and establishing His kingdom on earth. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And the only reason He hasn't established His kingdom already is because Scripture says that He's waiting for more people to repent and come to Him. Scripture says, "For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And so the Lord has told us to go into all the world and tell the gospel so that people can come to Him and be a part of His kingdom. And it will come. He wants us to know and understand that. And then fourthly, this is the last one, to proclaim the time of the Lord's favor. And when is the time of the Lord's favor? It's right now. Right now is the time of the Lord's favor. He wants all of us to come to Him, to give ourselves to Him, to allow Him to live His life in and through us, to place Him as first in our life so that He's our King and our Lord, so that we can work for His kingdom and help usher in His kingdom so that His will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. That's God's plan for all of us. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank You that the Lord Jesus came to bring this good news to us. Lord, we thank You that in Christ we can be free. Free to know You. Free to follow You. Free to serve You. Lord, we thank You that You spoke to us so that we can know and understand that yes, You are here. You love us. and that your kingdom is coming. And so, Lord, we thank you for giving us this time, this short time on earth, to know you, to follow you, and to serve you. And so, Lord, I pray that this Christmas we would give ourselves to you afresh, that we would put away anything that's hindering us from knowing you better than we know you now. And right now, while we're praying, if you're here tonight and you've never accepted Christ's death on the cross as a payment for your sins, I'd like to encourage you, just in the quietness of your own heart, to turn to him right now and say, Lord Jesus, I accept your death on the cross as a payment for my sins. I turn from going my own way and I turn to you and trust you as my Savior and my King and my Lord. And now, Lord, I pray that you'd fill us all with your Spirit, that we would trust you and not allow anything to hinder us from following you with all our hearts. Lord, we praise you and thank you because this is what Christmas is all about. This is Christmas. Amen. Amen.